You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Atamaria e te whānau e whakarongo ana koutou, ki te reo irirangi poho, you're on 95BFM. Morena, my name's Rachel and we've got a very special guest in the studio. It's Thea, morena.
Morena, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you up here. We're talking to you about a couple of things. We're talking to you about an awesome new remix of one of your tracks, but also we're chatting about a very cool thing that you're doing at Whammy Bar, which is te reo classes on Tuesday nights.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. If anyone's listening and you've already signed up, I can't wait to meet you. I'm so psyched.
It's a very cool thing. What made you want to host these te reo classes? Was it like a conversation you had with the Whammy Bar crew, or did you just think, nah, this needs to happen?
Like, it was so random and so natural. Like, what happened was, obviously, you know, I do music and my trade is not a teacher at all. However, I've kind of like fallen into it randomly, like, you know, and so I guess, like, long story short, I went to uni because I was just so passionate, you know, after kind of having grown up with my kui, with my grandmother, who like took me back to, you know, the marae, and she literally grew up in the old school days on the marae, you know, and it was wrought with, like, you know, a bunch of things, as you know, with like the Tohunga Suppression Act and stuff, where she wasn't even allowed to speak her own language. So there were a lot of things that were very kind of intriguing and like made me really angry as I was growing up listening to her stories as she started opening up to me. So that made me want to go to uni. And so I went and got a double degree in Māori and Indigenous Studies and Te Reo. And so then after that, like, just to pay my way to keep doing music, because, you know, we're all hustling.
The hustle's real, yeah.
Very real. Then I just kind of started being brought in to do everything from like going to the land court as a bubba. Like, I was like 19 years old, going to the land court, kind of didn't know what I was doing. I just knew that they wanted to learn more te reo content.
Awesome.
And then just started doing that. And then literally about a month ago, I had a gig at Whammy. Shout out to Baby Zionoff. Me and her had a gig together. It was really fun. And then I met Lucy. And then literally, like, I think the next day I just got an email from her because she'd expressed interest in learning te reo. And then she just asked if I would be interested in coming into Whammy and hosting, like, you know, a bunch of sessions for the local community.
That's awesome.
It just happened so naturally.
That's so cool. And that, I think, is what is great about it, and kind of great about a lot of different, like, little pockets of te reo that we're seeing pop up in that local way, where people are like getting together with friends and they're learning it in a group, where you kind of, I think it takes that anxiety out of it a little bit, where you can
like
have
the intimidation.
The intimidation factor, totally. I'm so intrigued by what you were doing with the land courts. Like, what kind of stuff were you doing there?
I've kind of did everything. Like, I just went in and did it was kind of like a couple of days course thing, where I had to come up with a curriculum to kind of just give everyone a basic understanding of, I guess, pepeha, in other words, like, our relationship to everything around us. You know, if you're familiar with pepeha, you'd know that it's all about, like, awa and, like, any bodies of water, and then maunga, mountains, which obviously is very important with the land court stuff. So I pretty much had to do that. And then I did a stint at the local, I'm from Christchurch, but I whakapapa back to Waikato. So I did a stint at the local Kura Kaupapa, which is like a Māori immersion school in Christchurch, where I had to teach their English classes. They only had one English class a week. Imagine that.
It's super cool.
Glorious. And so I had to, like, speak in te reo but teach the kids, like, kind of English and, you know, how to like go between the two languages. And then I literally just last year, around the release of Te Kai Whakoro Te Ao, just to, like, kind of, you know, get some extra money and stuff, I started teaching a bunch of musos.
Awesome.
And, like, just out of the Avondale community whare. And now I do it over Zoom and
2020.
Every Tuesday. It's amazing. So
it's
the hustle
cool.
is real, but it's kind of changed for me. Like, the initial motivation was to get some pūtea. And now, you know, I kind of went into it, like, with very much transparency with you guys. Like, I went into it kind of a little conflicted. I'm like, are these people going to have like the right motivations? Like just feeling like, you know, it's been really interesting growing up as like a half caste kid and stuff and kind of straddling the two worlds and experiencing like, it's just, it's, you know, it's kind of mind blowing the stuff you experience. So it was really moving seeing that, you know, so many, literally every single person just genuinely wants to kind of just be a better person and start to decolonize themselves and start to just learn a lot more about, you know, our culture and how to relate and understand tangata Māori. So that's,
and, you know, we've so got such a long way to go as a country still, but there does feel like a little bit of maybe a small kind of change in the atmosphere right now where people are talking more te reo in public. We're hearing a little bit more of it in the media. We're seeing more conversations about it being our original national language just happening more frequently. Does this give you kind of like a feeling of hope maybe for the language?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely like kind of a little like skeptical that the movement was tokenistic, but I feel having been just kind of softened myself a little bit more, and especially with actually teaching, you know, fellow musicians and people who like live in this world who are like the same age, like young, and you know, I think that the hope and like our future definitely lies with our generation, and like seeing our generation is, you know, not to like be like up ourselves or whatever, but I think it's kind of incredible the awareness and sensitivity that our generation has, you know, especially like where we're so exposed to everything on like a global level through socials, you know, everything kind of just joins together. And I think with the awareness on a global scale of like Indigenous rights and the plight for trying to revitalize these languages, and then seeing, I don't know, just everything, even Ihu Mātou last year was huge, you know? So I just think that it's kind of just getting in our like conscience and our zeitgeist as like a generation, and we're kind of like mini activists, and it just, it's actually extremely authentic. And I don't know about other generations, you know, I definitely have seen a lot of progress with my own parents. And just trying to like, I guess, change their way of thinking from that very strident, I grew up saying it this way, I'm not going to change.
I pretty
much, like, in summary, our generation rocks, and I think that we definitely are the future, and most of this change is from us, you know? Like, who's starting the land marches? Who's standing up and bringing, like, change with the petitions for Ihu Mātou? Who's doing the Black Lives Matter and leading that?
You know?
So I definitely think there's huge hope, and it's pretty much, you know, I think te reo revitalization needs a fresh face, and they've got it with us, you know?
Hard out. Well, it's a really amazing thing that you're doing, but other amazing things you're doing is obviously your music as well. And te reo, as you just mentioned, has always been crucial to that too. You put out that beautiful track at Christmas time last year, and it is, I think, a wonderful thing to hear like young contemporary pop musicians singing in te reo Māori, and it just being a thing that is easy and accessible, and like, you know, something that like kids who are even younger than you can see that and go, oh, this is cool, I could totally do that as well. But you've also put out your fantastic EP, and you've got some awesome remixes coming out at the moment, including Kitty Cat the Girl Doll remix, which is what we're about to play. Can you tell us a little bit about this track there?
Oh my gosh, I'm just in love with Girl Doll. She is like my musical bestie. Just to like bring things into perspective, we met over a Zoom show. It was called Strawberry Goth Cake, and was like, honestly, it's so cool. You should definitely like, it's at Strawberry Goth Cake on Instagram. They're incredible. And so they put on this really sick show with a bunch of us musos and DJs from around the world. It was like the first Zoom show I played. And then Girl Doll and I like just absolutely clicked and started messaging, and like I'd only just finished my set, and we were both on there like on the group chat. Everyone's like, you guys need to collab, like it just needs to happen. She's based out of LA, and yeah, she's just unbelievably cool. So I pretty much just asked her after I jumped on one of her tracks to jump on mine and remix it, and it was her first ever remix.
Awesome.
So if you're impressed by this, just honestly, like, hold your hats for the future. Yeah, she's amazing.
Hey, Thea, thank you so much for coming and chatting to us this morning about your te reo classes. Also, just your whole mahi with te reo, like everything you do is really cool. So thank you for coming and speaking to us. And also, thank you for putting out awesome music that we can listen to as well.
Oh, ngā mihi nui. Thank you so much.
Kia ora. Call me a slut when I do it like that. Gonna chin me up like a kitty cat. And around my neck, I'll give you a scratch. Karma comes along, cause it's kitty bad spat.
FM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.